Blog Talk Radio.
Take my life.
wanna be home. You can have your cars. Give me holiness.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Kingdom Builders International, under the leadership of Elder QT and Prophetess Teresa Dock. I am your host tonight, Sybil Peoples. I am here with my handsome husband, Elder Melvin G. Peoples. How are you, Pastor?
Doing fine, thank you. Just blessed of the Lord and grateful for the opportunity to share in his blessed word. As always, I say it is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed, because his compassions fail not, and they are renewed each morning, and great is his faithfulness. So I praise God for his faithfulness unto me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your presence here. We are going to dive into the word shortly. Just have to take care of a few details. I want all my listeners to know, or I have some information for you. If you can grab a pen or paper, I want you to know that good grounds are sown into what God is doing. Now, you can send your donations to Kingdom Builders International, and that address is 1625 Northland Drive, and that's in Southfield, Michigan, 48375, Suite 369. Or you can log on to www.kingdombuildersplaza.com. And remember, all donations are tax deductible. You can join Kingdom Builders. The address again is 1625 Northland Drive, Southfield, Michigan. And again, that zip code is 48375, Suite 369. The service times are 11 a.m. That's Prophetess Teresa Dock's pastor. Or you can experience Jesus Encounter Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Now, to call in for prayer or to send your prayer request, the prayer line is open Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. Central Time to 6 a.m. Eastern. And that number is 218-895-0280. And when you call in, you enter the code 772-937 or enter the code prayer. We're also excited to announce Kingdom Builders Developmental Institute Ministry classes. Now, if you believe that God is calling you to ministry and you do not know what to do next, give us a call and watch God work. Acts 6 and 4 says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Get training, get equipped to manifest." Now, for more information, call 313-583-9739. And to contact, or if you'd like more information about the internet radio, you can log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. Click on the following, and then you will receive updates on speakers and events. Project Youth, we are all focused on developing character, excellence, and integrity in youth, along with self-enrichment programs for our families that are in need of mental, emotional, and spiritual support. You can call the church office at any time for more information, 313-583-9739. All that was a blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are about to take a moment and have prayer, and then let's move forward in the word, Elder.
Gracious Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, dear Lord, for your mercies, for your goodness, and for your grace. We thank you for this special opportunity. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us the words of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that you would speak to every heart by the power of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that this word will go forth on this evening and deliver souls. We pray that you would build up brothers and sisters in their most holy faith. We pray that you would convict those who do not know you, Father, that they may enter into covenant with you. We thank you, Father. We believe by faith, hallelujah, that where two or three gather together in your name, that you are in the midst. We believe, Father, that if we are touching and agree concerning anything, it shall be given. And we trust tonight that your words would be blessed and that souls would be delivered, that saints would be built up in their most holy faith, and we trust you for it, and we consider it done in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I also just want to take a moment for all of my listeners who are born-again believers. I really pray that you are blessed by this word, but I want to especially address those individuals that may not have had a born-again experience, those who cannot say for sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. I invite you at any point in time, as we are here from 7 to 8 this evening, if you so desire, salvation is a very life-changing event, but it is the best and the greatest decision that you will make all the time that you are alive. And it only means you saying a simple prayer to invite Jesus into your heart, into your life, to declare him Lord. And thereby, he says, if you believe and receive him as your Lord and Savior, you shall be saved. So at any time during this broadcast, you can pause and pray and ask the Lord in. And as I have given that invitation to you, I believe that when this broadcast is over, you'll be encouraged to take that step, your Lord and Savior. There are so many blessings and benefits to this new walk, this experience with an almighty God. Well, the name of this program, I failed to mention that on the onset, is God is Good. And so the following weeks, we will be addressing aspects of this uncomparable, undescribable revelation that God is good. And tonight, we're going to discuss how we rely on God. He's good, and we do rely on him. Now, for most believers, that relying on God may be a very familiar subject. It's something you may have heard many times. But I invite you to listen in as we address some details on a lifestyle of relying on God. There is a wonderful gift from God that we receive as born-again believers, and it is a part of all things, everything connected to God. And this gift is his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, but it is yet his Spirit. This gift of his Spirit, it empowers us, it revives us, it is God's presence in us continually as we walk out this faith journey, this life. It's the ability to stand and the ability to do what we need to do to please God. It is in us, on us, and all about us. Elder, would you have a comment in regards to his Spirit and how it is?
Well, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the infinite wisdom of God, the understanding of God, which many times it's in a total contrast for us as far as experience in the ways that we think as human beings. And I think that there's a very strong tendency that if we're not inspired by the Spirit of God, we're going to fall to the standards of human evaluation, human interpretation, human understanding, whereby many times in that natural humanity which we have, there's a tendency to miss God, because the thing that we must understand about God is that, number one, God is divine. God is supernatural. Praise the Lord. And it's very important that we realize that there is a challenge within our human spirit concerning the things that come from the Spirit of God. And it's very, very easily to find ourselves under the mindset or belief system that we are walking in the Spirit, when many times we are walking carnally and in the flesh, because the Scriptures teach that His ways are not our ways, neither is His thoughts our thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are His ways above our ways, saith the Lord. And so that statement alone challenges us as believers to, with a great diligence, to seek out the mindset and the ways of God. And today we are challenged in such a great way in the body of Christ, because in many places and in many locations we're finding that we have taken on the ideals and the principles of the world, and we are trying to use those principles to produce a godly result. Praise the Lord. But that's never going to happen unless we learn the value of the Spirit of God. I think that's the most juvenile teaching and belief that every newborn child of God, when he comes into the body of Christ, must have. It is to be admonished, to be encouraged, to be impressed upon their hearts the importance of learning the voice of the Holy Spirit and being led by it.
So well put, being led by the Spirit. Elder, there is a simplicity in Christ. I know most believers have no problem embracing simplicity in salvation. The simplicity that spoke about in Romans 10 and 9, to confess, believe, and receive is the pathway to salvation. Simplicity in salvation, it's like we don't have the ability to boast on what we do.
Amen.
Which makes it simple. We don't possess the ability to even say that it was because of us, because he chose us. We couldn't come to him unless he chose us first. But there's a simplicity in our walk, in our relationship, in our day-to-day with God. We as people, mimicking world patterns and systems, we complicate this.
Amen. You know, I think that we must follow the biblical examples and patterns which are given. You know, when you talk about a newborn believer, you're talking about a babe.
Mm-hmm.
And from a natural perspective, there's nothing complicated for most of us who are older and mature that we have understanding concerning a babe. A babe has to be fed.
Right.
Literally fed by hand or fed by a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
A babe doesn't have the ability to walk on its own. A babe doesn't really understand the language initially, praise God. A babe doesn't have the right language. And so when we understand that and when we embrace that concept, we find that we are going to have a solid foundation in Christ. Praise the Lord. We're going to go from being spiritual babes to being meat eaters and then strong meat eaters, so to speak. We're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. But it is a process that is very timely. We can't base it upon how long we've been saved. Praise the Lord. People can get saved and baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit on the same day. And you can look at them several years later, and one person seems to be so spiritually advanced and gone down the road, so to speak, and the other person seems to be behind. But the beauty of that is that God walks with us, He talks with us, and those of us who are in ministry, we are very patient, and we are very, very concerned, and we're very diligent about how we handle, praise the Lord, those who are in that particular stage of spiritual development.
Amen. Amen. I like that response. The next thing I was actually going to address, and you said it very well, is that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So where we, by human nature, want to complicate the simplicity of this chosen relationship with God, God is not a respecter of persons. He loves individuals with low IQs, and he loves individuals with high IQs. Pick and choose this journey where Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. It says in Psalms 138:8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He has predestined, he has pre-prescribed our personal relationship with him. His word is a part of that. And you mentioned growing in the knowledge, growing in the grace and the knowledge of him. It is God working together with us. We are partnering with his Holy Spirit to accomplish this purpose walk that God had predestined for us. Elder, I came across a concept, and I have an acronym for that concept. If we're talking about being led by the Spirit, if we're talking about relying on his Holy Spirit that has been gifted to us and relying or remaining in us for this mission that God has given us in our walk with him. And that concept is OAT.
Oh,
yes. No plural, just OAT. OAT, which is my abbreviated concept for the idea that our ability to, and I put three dots behind that because in our efforts, in our human ability, we often fail or error believing that our ability to is accomplishing.
Yes.
And that's a thin line because we got a whole book full of instructions and godly wisdom, but it is the enemy who wants to take a very good thing, how the Lord gives us this instruction manual, and he wants to pervert it. He wants to subtly cause believers to believe that we are really accomplishing things within our flesh.
Yeah. You know, that acronym, our ability to, it really says a lot because that's one of the major challenges of any new convert to Christ is the concept of becoming a babe. You got people who come to Christ, some perhaps later in life, they may be in their late 30s or 40s, and they may be very accomplished in the professional world. They may have very, very high-profile jobs. They may be well-known. They may have a great material life. But yet, when they come into this spiritual community, they are called babes. And that is would be a hard challenge, let's face it, for most people. To here it is, I'm in corporate America, and I've got people that are coming and going at my beck and call, but yet in the spiritual body of Christ, I am considered a babe.
Yeah.
And sometimes that becomes the struggle of new converts to Christ, is that they have so much secular information, so much secular talent, so many secular abilities, education,
mm-hmm.
That thing becomes a stumbling block to their spiritual progress in Christ. You know, there was a gentleman back in about 1983 by the name of Howard Gardner. And what he did, he wrote of 9 different types of human intelligence.
Okay.
And these human intelligences are found in all of us without having the Holy Spirit. They're just the natural abilities that God gives to common man, unregenerate man, that he can navigate through this world. Some of the most successful people and some of the most creative people in the world are not born-again Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So God has given these abilities to all men and women. And those various abilities, they fall under 8 categories. Some people have a naturalist ability.
Okay.
And that simply means that they are nature smart. There are people who you can take them into the wilderness, and they have a tendency, just by something about their character, they have the ability to survive. In a very naturalistic society.
Is that like street smart?
Well, no, it's more of a nature type of gifting.
All right.
And then you have people who have musical ability. They have a sense of sound. They are able to orchestrate and coordinate sounds in such a way that they have a natural musical ability.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's those who have logical or mathematical, who have the ability to reason concerning numbers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all of these are things that God gives us prior to having the Holy Spirit. They're just natural gifts to humanity. Some of us have existence type abilities, which is that the ability to survive smart. You can put a person, some people, you can put them in any situation and they're comfortable. They can be struggling financially. And they have a plan, and they have an outlook that it supersedes many other people who the times when they get into a financial struggle, they panic. We know brothers and sisters in Christ like that, and we shouldn't be that way, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof,
amen.
And they that dwell therein. And he's the owner of the cattle upon a thousand hills. But that's another message altogether. Praise the Lord. And then there are people who have interpersonal ability. They're just people smart. You know, they know how to navigate and handle people. And all of these are natural abilities that if we're not careful, we bring them into the body of Christ and we don't accomplish the spiritual purpose of God. Because remember, his ways are not our ways.
Amen.
His thoughts are not our thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, the Lord says, so are my ways above your ways, saith the Lord. But these are natural gifting abilities, and they're very gifted people in the body of Christ, but at the same time, some of them are very carnal.
Mm-hmm.
And they fit these various descriptions. There are others who have their body smart. They understand body kinetics.
Mm-hmm.
They're body smart. And then there are those who have linguistic, or they're word smart. You know, they know how to use words. Praise the Lord. They know how to say it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. It's not just the preachers or the teachers. It's a natural gifting. We see it in children very early,
mm-hmm.
how their maturity level and their ability to express themselves transcends their age. Praise God. And, of course, there's also the person that has interpersonal skill. They're just self-smart. You know, they know how to navigate. They know how to move among people. They're what we call the movers and the shakers.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. But even with all of this, we can miss God because we come with the oat. Praise the Lord. You know, we got these abilities. But the thing that God wants us to understand is that whatever gifting that we have naturally, the thing that makes it special is the alignment of it with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And that's where the body of Christ has to really be careful at, because many times we have said people were spiritually gifted, when in reality they are operating in their natural ability. And that's not a crime. But it doesn't bring us the best product which God has intended for. It doesn't usher us into the place where we get the fullest benefits of God. It doesn't take us into the holiest of holies, because there are special requirements to go into the holiest of holies. And I'm using that as a parallel statement to suggest that to get into that special and unique thing and benefits and privileges of God, It takes the things of God. Praise the Lord.
That is so well put. It takes the things of God. And taking the conversation further, it takes the things of God, his Holy Spirit. We have our human spirit, and then yet there is the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is our empowerment. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So as we are born again believers, a new creation, God imparts in us his Holy Spirit to carry out his mission.
Amen.
And carrying out his mission requires faith.
Yes.
And we have faith in him, not faith in us, not faith in our ability. We have faith in him. We work together with his Spirit, and therefore we accomplish his mission. A lot of times, and I say ouch and amen, I'm guilty personally of pursuing things within my own human ability without taking that opportunity to rely on God, because all it is his business. It's almost like we have jobs, if you want to compare it to working for, as we call it, the man. When you're on the job, that is the man's business. That is his mission. It's what he has purposed. And you come on as employees working together with that employer to meet that mission. Well, Jesus had a purpose, or Jesus had a mission. He came to seek and save that which was lost, which also becomes our mission.
Amen.
Because the word tells us to go ye into all the world. And we are sent into the world. We're sent into the world of the people we have contact at work, or family members, or neighbors, or school, or what you call it, students, co-students, whatever. We are sent where we go to be Christ to the world.
Amen.
But we cannot be Christ to the world relying on our own gifts, our own human ability.
And, you know, and that's a very, very important point. And for this reason, that it's for some, it is it's a thin line of discernment,
mm-hmm,
between the natural ability and the anointing of God.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody once said there was a man who sang the 23rd Psalms.
Oh yeah.
and in singing the 23rd Psalms, he got a great response. But another man sang the 23rd song. He didn't have the singer's voice. He wasn't that much of a skilled singer. But everybody in the house were weeping once he got done singing the 23rd song.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the difference was one man knew the 23rd song, but the other man with the less of a voice, he knew the author.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. And that's the thing that's going to take the transcend the world in the times that we're living in, the power of God. It's not by power, nor is it by might.
That's my next scripture.
But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It is the Spirit of God and anointed people who are going to be able to translate this world to the thing that Christ wants it to be. It's going to take the anointing to break the yoke. It's going to take the anointing to convince the sinner that he needs Christ. Praise the Lord. And in so many places, in so many ways, the body of Christ has become guilty of desiring the gift more than the giver of the gift. And I think that we're going to realize this as the times are changing now, even from a political standpoint in this nation. It doesn't take a great prophet to see that there may be a little trouble on the horizon. And that being true, we're going to need the anointing. We're going to need the power that's going to give us that edge that we need in these times. Praise God. And the thing that we have to keep in mind, God has given us the power, and he's called us for such a time as this. If you are here now and you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, this is your season.
Amen.
This is your time to shine. This is the time to stand as a beacon of light in a dark place.
Well, you know what I find interesting, and I so agree with you, that the times are different than they've ever been. And yet, as we, like you say, we don't have to be a prophet to predict. Things are going to change.
Amen.
Change immensely. On a personal level, just individuals, born-again believers, experiencing so much stress and depression. So many negative things that you often ask the question, if we believe God, what are we doing? How are we so burdened with the same thing the world has? How are we so afflicted by what the world don't have a remedy for because they don't know Christ? I like that scripture you quoted, Zechariah 4:6. Not by might and nor by power. We rely on what I would consider might, our oath. And then we can even go further and say power, because there are a lot of powers that be. There are powers of darkness. There's a list of powers. But there is only one spirit that comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And when he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, Micah says in 3:8 that he quoted, he said, I'm full of the power by the spirit of the Lord. And that is the important element, as we have been speaking, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that filling of the Holy Spirit happens when we choose for it. There are different ways we can be filled, and the scripture tells us, but if we are full of ourselves, we negate the ability to be full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You know, Sister Sybil, as you were talking, it came into my mind. I think that in some ways, God has to bring us, and I know this is not going to be a popular statement, but it's if somebody once said it's right anyhow. Sometimes God has to bring us to total futility concerning our ability as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you make this the declaration of this message, which was, you know, our ability to,
the oath,
Many times we think that within ourselves we have the ability to accomplish the things that are going to be required of God, but we don't. And so the natural consequence of that is that we have to be brought to futility concerning our own strength, you know. And we got a great Faith Hall of Fame of people who had to be brought to that place. They had to be brought to the end of themselves in order to be able to see God. Praise the Lord. Because he doesn't compete with us. He's not going to share the internal throne of our hearts with us. That's his place.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You see? And so he has to sometimes bring us low that he may take us high.
Amen.
And that's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing, because the Lord says, whom I loveth, I chasten. And if God loves us, he chastens us. He brings us to a place where we can agree with his purpose and his calling. Just because we got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't walk lockstep with the Spirit of God. We have to be chastised. We have to be challenged. We have to be rebuked many times. We have to be brought down. But God does it in a loving way. He's not trying to destroy us, but the enemy will get in our ears and say, God don't love you. God's trying to destroy you. But the Lord does what he does because he loves us. And he didn't even spare his only son, his only begotten son. Jesus felt forsaken on Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even though we know that he became sin for us, who knew no sin himself, but yet he felt forsaken because of the purpose and the mission for which he had. And sometimes when we walk with God, we're going to feel like, where are you, Lord?
Yeah, the war is all about the truth that God is good. An enemy working double overtime to try to get us to believe differently.
And we can feel that way. Mm-hmm. You can feel like God is forsaking you, but the thing that always resonates in my spirit in every trial that I have experienced in my journey with the Lord is, number one, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, heaven and earth would have to pass away first before that could happen.
Done deal.
Praise the Lord. So we can know at the very least, no matter what we experience, God is there. Now, he may not be there comforting you and rubbing your back all the time. Sometimes he just lets you stew in your agony. But there's a spiritual value in that. There's some spiritual things that we can learn from those experiences. Praise God.
Yeah, I mentioned Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And this is what I believe wholeheartedly, that our relationship with God is about us working with him.
Amen.
And our relationship with God is about us, even when we don't appear as if we're working with him.
Amen.
Because it is about, and oh, you challenge me every time you reminded me, that it is all about our faith. As I believe the Lord for a very, very astronomical sowing of finances into my world, the most important thing to God is not my being relieved from a need, but it is my building of my faith.
Amen.
And this faith building is such a big part of this relationship, because God is looking to reveal himself to mankind.
Amen.
And our faith journey is revealing or coming into the knowledge or revelation of who God is.
Yes.
Walking with him closer or being able to know him in a greater way as we take this life journey. And this relationship that Jesus is the author of, it's predicated on us being righteous.
Amen.
And Psalm says the steps of a, or is this Proverbs? it's Proverbs or Psalms. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord.
Amen.
So as much as we think that maybe we just in a bad place and we just are depleted of our faith, God has worked that in, as you said.
Yes.
It's a part of our growth because he shows us himself. And then it's like the parable in Matthew 13, 18 through 23, that when the word is sown, then there are these elements to come and try that word,
yes,
to squeeze on that word, to see if that word has the ability to take root. And when it takes root, struggling with that word, then it must be watered.
Yes.
It must be cultivated and cared for.
Amen.
That it may grow and then thereby bear fruit. And this whole journey of our faith in God, God revealing himself to us in this journey, it is, as you mentioned, it is the chastening and the buffeting.
Yes.
It is the, as you once taught a message, is the wilderness included in there. But we must maintain and hold fast to the fact that it is God who called us.
Amen.
It is God who created a new creature. It is him who gifted us his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all that he possessed, he never left us nor forsaken us. And we,
yes,
have to hold fast to that and stop or turn away from believing it is this outward representation of what I can make happen.
Yes. And you know, Sister Sue, as you were talking, it came to my spirit, woe unto them who call light darkness and darkness light. There are sectors where believers in Christ are actually being accused of sin because they're having hardships.
Mm.
And you see, that is a very, very modern theological position. Many of the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have read about in the scriptures had hardships.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Job was put out there. Praise the Lord. The Lord put Job out there. He speaks to Satan. He says, have you considered my servant Job? And he says to the devil himself that he's an upright man. He fears God, and he eschews, or he hates evil. And he gives him permission to do anything he chooses to do but take his life. And the self-righteous people who are observing Job accuse him. Curse God and die. We know he done messed up Job.
Wife and friends.
Yeah, people that spiritually you would think would know better. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. We live in a time now. We live in a Laodicean era of the body of Christ, I personally believe. And the emphasis is on wealth and health and prosperity. And thank God for wealth and health and prosperity when you can get it. But it's not an indicator of who we are spiritually. The indicator of who we are spiritually is based upon the fruit that we bear. Praise the Lord. Not how much hardship we experience, not how much pain we experience, setbacks in life. There are people in this world who are Christians who don't have a choice of two or three meals a day. We got brothers and sisters in Africa and in other parts of the world who can barely get a meal. And they're very fine Christian people. And God has chosen to allow it to be that way. Because the reality is, this is not our resting place. This is a temporary stop. Because he's coming back.
Amen.
And he's coming back, he says, for a church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. Meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with him. But in the meantime, we have to struggle at times. We have to suffer. We have to go through. And it's unfortunate that in some places, people have been alienated because of the hardships of their lives inside of the Christian community.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise him. One thing is for sure, that this power or this Holy Spirit that we're talking about, the Spirit of God, it is what draws the world. The world, if you just took a common sense approach, if the world is looking at rotten, evil corporate America being very, very wealthy, having all sorts of this world's resources available to them, or they're looking at other type of evil people who are doing illegal things and all sorts of unimaginable things, and they're walking in incredible wealth and resources, and then the church want to present Christ as one that's going to cause you to walk in this wealth and resources, where is the power in that representation?
Amen.
How do you draw a lost, dark, dying world with this world's resources? It takes a supernatural power, a power that far exceeds all powers that be.
Yes.
A power that is from on high, from a God who created the heavens, the earth, the universe, as you put everybody, everything, and all their stuff. Just created by God. And so we also have a very knowledgeable generation who is hungry for spiritual things.
Amen.
They are longing, literally starving for this supernatural feeling. They are wandering aimlessly life with this void, identifying and knowing there's a void, but the people of God is yet distracted and failing the mission to present God and who he is as an all-powerful God, not a God of money, not a God of I can get you and I'm going to do for you, but a God that feels, that fulfills, that goes well beyond. As we look and we see stars and entertainers and we see wealthy people who are depressed, or they are suicidal, or they are turning to drugs. They have all the fame and the things, but yet there's that void, and they don't know how to get the void because the things or the money is not filling the void. And that generation, that the youth or that generation that is so, it's a 911 concerning this power of God that we could present to them, we could offer to them. I just want to cover just a few things about the power of God. Romans 1 and 16 says, the gospel, not your education,
yes,
not your good looks, not your wealth, not your charisma, but the gospel is the power of God,
yes,
unto salvation.
Yes.
And then Acts 1 and 8 talks about, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me and unto the world. God's plan is to save the world, not through what we are able to do in our oath. It's not dependent. He didn't trust that the world and this important mission of saving the world would be on your shoulders and your gifts and talents within your human ability. But he imparted his Holy Ghost. He imparted his spirit,
yes,
that we could be an instrument to help save the lost, that we could embrace new believers. We could share the message with children. We can tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has nothing to do whether we're sick. We could tell God heals even if we're sick ourselves. We could tell God heals if we're well, if we're educated, uneducated. The power is not predicated on us as individuals and our human ability, but it is his spirit.
Yes. His power and his spirit and his ability. You know, I got filled with the Holy Spirit on February the 9th, 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately my life was transformed. I wasn't a terrible person, but I wasn't saved. I was empty. I was out there, so to speak. But that transformation with Jesus Christ is the thing that put my life on course. Praise the Lord. It answered all of the questions of emptiness and futility. And no one can convince me that a man or a woman who does not have God in their life is not empty. I don't care what you cover it with. You can cover it with riches, diamonds, wealth, prosperity of any type. But what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? We were empty, and humanity is empty without God. And he's going to always be empty because he was designed for God.
And that's real important. I'm glad you said that, because man was created with the void. Man, human, Adam, was made with the void to be filled only by God.
Amen.
And when we take our position, when we embrace this truth and receive this empowerment, and we go, wherever we go, our encounters with people, and we have in mind, this isn't about our details.
Amen.
But it is the fact that we are the light of the world.
Yes.
The world is lost.
Hallelujah.
The world is longing to hear us praise God,
yes,
worship God, talk about God, tell our testimony, give God the credit. The world is longing for his spirit to manifest.
Glory.
That they could receive and have this fulfillment for this void they are longing for.
Yes.
And I find it so amazing at times when you come across people who kick the hardest, resist the most, it's because of the Holy Spirit has been dealing with them.
Amen.
Even before you meet them.
Yes.
That they are yet realizing that this void has them uneasy.
Amen.
This void is turning them inside out,
yes,
of restlessness.
Hallelujah.
And the world, I mean, we as the body of Christ, we have a responsibility. I mentioned, I want to conclude with this. Our time is almost up. I want to conclude that this oath, our ability to. We have some responsibility.
Yes.
We should not lean or rely on our human that we discuss, but we have a responsibility to know.
Yes.
To know who we are in Christ. If we are a new convert or we have trouble seeing or whatever your excuse is and you're not accomplishing reading your word, God has another provision for
yes.
you. He says pray.
Amen.
So if you're not reading your word, you can pray. And if you're not able to pray and you're struggling with prayer, you could talk about them.
Amen.
You could talk to other people. If you just repeat your own testimony, he will reveal himself and where you at on whatever level you're at.
Yes.
He has promised. It is a big part of our responsibility to direct our attention, to submit and surrender and to know who we are in this world.
Yes.
And this is my last scripture. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation.
Yes.
What Jesus did at the cross, it was paid for in full,
yes.
complete, that no matter where you at, a two-minute-old Christian or a 102-year-old Christian,
Amen.
He has provided for us. He has paid the cost that we could come boldly before the throne of grace.
Yes.
No matter what your sin, no matter what your faults, your errors, no matter what the details are, when the word says that we are peculiar people, we are righteous people, we are a royal priesthood.
Yes.
He was talking about the Christian that get everything right. No smoking, no drinking, no cussing, no sexual sins. They give their money. They able to meditate, pray, and read. He was talking about that one. And he was talking about the wino on the corner who just can't seem to get but a half a thing right.
Yes.
He was said that he died to save the world.
Amen.
All right, Pastor. This is Pastor Melvin G. Peoples and Sybil Peoples. You can reach us at 219-801-8537. You can contact us through blogtalkradio.com. We look forward to hearing from you. We want to thank and praise everyone and for every person who made the choice of salvation tonight. It was the greatest choice of your life. Pastor,
Amen.
About 20 seconds.
I just want to thank God for the audience out there. Keep us in your prayers. We'll be praying. Just trust God for all of the good things that he has in store for us for the remainder of this wonderful year. God bless you, and we love you very much.
Amen. God bless everyone. Good night.